Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively shaken into the holiday groove. I caught myself out shopping over the weekend, bebopping to Mariah Carey up and down aisles. But we're going to be celebrating with the Maryland Crab Cake Tour this week. It is my 30th anniversary. Big appreciation and gratitude to everybody who's sent me nice notes here this week and old pictures. Anybody's got any old pictures? I like some old pictures. So send them over, nasty at WNST.net. You can always find me there, add on Facebook or Twitter. This guy roams around as well. And, dude, you're going to be working on Wednesday, picking up the pieces of this Lamar thing. But I'm going to be having a crab imperial and the cream spinach I love so much at Costas. Might even get me like some little mushroom crab. Ah, man, I'm going for everything. I'm going all in on Wednesday. We got guests coming by. But this, people are going to be talking football. Like at Costas, we've had C.J. Mosley there. We've had Bryant McKinney there. We've sat there. We've been celebratory there. This is a weird, weird time because from that first night we got together in Canton, Ohio, and he was running in the linebackers, we always thought, like, eventually he'll get hurt. He's a quarterback anyway. How hurt he gets or what happens or – but everybody gets hurt. It's the National Football League, right? So this happens now, and this is when it becomes, like, purple drama number one, especially when the team's good but failing and sputtering. And Luke, we're going to dispatch you out courtesy of Royal Farms all week long at Owings Mills to make sense of Lamar's ankle at this point, right?
Ankle gate, I guess.
You can be the ankle whisperer.
Right. I don't want to say I'm mad at myself for saying that because I'm so tired of anyone saying something gate. You know, we have to be more original than that. But
go with whisperer. I'm into that.
Right. That's okay. That's going to be the story all week. We know that. And this isn't any disrespect to any other number of injuries the Ravens have had. I mean, Lord knows they've had so many over the course of the year. They lose Calais Campbell on Sunday. Tylan Wallace had a concussion. Patrick Ricard was already out. Nick Boyle was already out. All the guys on IR. But nothing compares to Lamar Jackson and the health of his ankle. And we've talked about this really, you know, going back to what you just said, going back to his rookie year even, knowing his style of play, and not even talking in terms of waiting for him or expecting him to get hurt, but always that question of if something happens to him, especially in the lower body, one of his legs, that what does that mean for him in the sense that it might be a little bit different for, and Aaron Rodgers might not even be a great example because he's been a very mobile quarterback relative to a Tom Brady, let's say, or a Peyton Manning, where if they twist their ankle, they sprain their ankle, they stand from the pocket, as long as they can function and push off that ankle to throw, it's not going to impact them nearly as much as Lamar Jackson, who, as I've already declared in my mind, is the greatest rushing quarterback in NFL history. If he's less than 100%, what does that mean? Now, if it's 95%, I don't think that's a big issue. But if it's 80%, that fundamentally changes what the Ravens want to do. And other teams probably figure it out pretty quickly if he's not moving around.
And you probably don't want him getting hit once, let alone 10 times, let alone 15 or 20 times, alone on his own merits, let alone on standing in the pocket because that's all he can do because he can't move. That's a recipe for bad, 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 bad things.
Yeah, I mean, and there's always going to be that risk. I mean, Tom Brady, if he has a bad ankle, is going to be standing in the pocket. I mean, keep in mind, Lamar Jackson.
But that's what he does.
Right. But keep in mind, Lamar Jackson got hurt rolling out and throwing a football. I mean, it's not as though he was, you know, charged into somebody or took a wicked blindside hit or something like that. It was, you know, we've talked about this. Joe Flacco got hurt in the pocket. Drew Brees, who is certainly not someone you think of as a scrambler, look at the injuries he had the last few years. I mean, it happens. And, you know, it was a testament to Joe Flacco that he stayed as healthy as he did for as long as he did. But we saw at the end, he didn't stay healthy in the same way. So it's going to happen to every quarterback. You know, you certainly don't want it to happen. And certainly the timing of this makes it tough when you know the Packers are coming to town. You know the Ravens have a difficult final four games here, but they also have that one game cushion in the division. It's why we've talked about all along that as mediocre as they've looked at times, as much as a non-contender as they've looked at times, as much as we've harped on their injuries as far as why they can't win the Super Bowl or make an argument against that anyway, they still have that mathematical advantage, and they got off to that 5-1 start. That's why that was so important way back when. So, you know, but it is going to be the big question. And you said it before we even started our conversation. You don't get the sense that John Harbaugh is just going to make an announcement unless it would be on the more severe side, more severe than they were thinking after the game, late Sunday night, early Monday morning. But you never know. I mean,
Well, this is where they play their game. They hide him right away till Wednesday. And, you know, they don't have to say anything about anything. And that is the whole Belichickian, you know, Harbaughian way of doing things, like that they don't want to give the Packers an advantage. They scored 45 points the other night already on the Bears. But I mean, Pro Football Doc, I can get David Chow on and we can talk to him about low ankle sprains and high ankle sprains. And maybe we'll even do that this week, right? But you can Google it all. And, you know, the information is, can he go out and play football at an NFL level, to your point, and do what makes him special 5 days from now? And that, you know, I would say that's probably very doubtful, or you'd be very hopeful to think that he's going to be able to go out there and play if he couldn't play yesterday, that you don't wake up even more sore the next day, like literally, right?
Yeah, and that's the part that's tough to really try to speculate about. I mean, some people heal very quickly, others do not. I mean, that's just the reality. But I think you have to take it in concert with, let's call a spade. Lamar Jackson hasn't been playing well, and there's that extra element of, all right, can you sit him out for the practice week all week, and then he's good enough to play on Sunday? Sure. Hypothetically, there's a scenario for that. But is that really optimal? And that's where you do get into the conversation. Not that we're talking about it on an even playing field, but in the short term, if Lamar Jackson is well less than 100% to the point that he can't practice, are you better off going with Tyler Huntley for this week at least? Now, rest of the season, is Tyler Huntley giving you the same ceiling as Lamar? Of course not. And I don't say that to be disrespectful to Huntley. I'm saying that to be complimentary to a guy who won the MVP 2 years ago. But again, that's where we get into the degrees of how much is that ankle going to be a factor. I mean, I don't know, Nestor. Maybe he's ready to go by Wednesday or Thursday on a limited basis. I don't know. I mean, again, we're speculating here. But how close is he to 100%? How much is he able to prepare practice-wise? Because
I was going to be a smartass and say, how well would you feel on Thursday enough to bet on it? You know, because they're all betting now, right? Like, I got Phil Sims and Boomer Esiason giving me betting advice 5 minutes before the game. And like, bet. You got the fan on, bet. So, like, it is funny, but you're like, how would I speculate on Thursday as to how this is going to go and how the team's going to play it? Because he is the bet if you're betting, right? He is the chance if you're chancing. And then we get into the Huntley and the way they built this offense around him, that if indeed he is one of one, Bobby Wagner, right, that there would be no way to replace him in the same way, even in the same offense. And then to your point, there's no Ronnie Stanley. There might not be a Nick Boyle or a Patrick Ricard. There's, you know, the McCary issue, the front line. Like, all of that is trouble enough for Lamar, let alone for the backup quarterback, or even worse, for an 80% Lamar or 90% Lamar or whatever that is, that doesn't allow him to have the burst, to get away, and then maybe to exacerbate the thing by somebody rolling up on him again or tackling him, which I would think would hurt like hell. But hey, man, it's the NFL. I'm sure he wants to play. I mean, it's one thing you and I could both say about Lamar. We're not going to have a lot of access to Lamar this week, but I'm sure he wants to play.
Oh, there's no question about that. And I mean, again, if this were a case where if this had happened in, let's say, how he played over the first 5 weeks of the season. We all remember how amazing he played against Indianapolis in that comeback. I mean, he looked like Dan Marino throwing the football. I mean, that's how good he was in that second half. If he were playing at that level, and this was as simple as let him rest up for a few days, he's not going to quite be 100%, but he's going to be good enough that he can still move around. Maybe not at his A level, but he can move around at a B level, let's say.
Would you say that that's where he was in October last year when they sort of stopped running him for a couple weeks around that Philadelphia? I mean, he played and they played through it, but he didn't want to run the ball for a couple weeks last year, right?
I mean, it's tough. I mean, I know he was less than 100%. But I still think last year, if we go back, and I don't want to get too far off track here.
Sure. But we have seen him go out and play when he's been less than 100%, clearly.
True. But I also think early last year was still, that was them trying to evolve. And keep in mind, there was no normal spring. There was a weird training camp. There was no preseason. And they understood what had happened to them at the end of 2019. They knew we need to throw the ball a little bit more and we need to be able to do different things. I think what you saw until the outbreak last year was a lot of that going on. Now, was he banged up for a week or two? Sure. I mean, he missed a couple practices. I don't think it was a major issue, but I think then you saw at the end of the year, it was like, okay, we need to go. And then they reverted to going nuts, running the football. J.K. Dobbins took over as the primary back. Lamar was running more. And you saw what they did. They won 5 in a row, and it looked great until they got to Buffalo, and Buffalo was able to contain that, and the Ravens couldn't pass the ball enough. But going back to the point I was trying to make, though, this would be one thing if he were playing at a high level before this injury, and then it was a case of, okay, you give him a few days of rest, you get him back out there, and then you're good to go. This offense needs work. And even on Sunday, and you give Tyler Huntley a lot of credit for those final two touchdown drives, but they had 9 points until 9 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. I mean, it's not as though this offense was humming, and he turned the ball over a couple times. So,
man, when's the last time we saw the offense hum, like really hum?
I mean, you
2 months and half of the
second half of the Minnesota game. I'd say that, but
that's
really,
a month and a half ago now.
But from start to finish, the Chargers game. I mean, really, that was 2 months ago. So that's what we're talking about. So that practice time matters. You know, as much as when he's playing at his best, you might say Lamar Jackson probably doesn't need to practice. I think he does right now. I think he would say that. I think Greg Roman and John Harbaugh would say that privately anyway. So it will be fascinating to see how that plays out. But again, how healthy can he be, or how healthy is he this week or next week, whenever it is, that he can, one, return and be healthy enough to play. But the bigger issue, and this is what I wrote at BaltimorePositive.com. I mean, you have a Ravens team that is hanging on, holding on to the AFC North. And again, the Bengals gave them some help. Steelers laid an egg in the first half last Thursday night.
Browns tried to lose right in front of them.
Yeah, we talked about that. I mean, to me, that game said so much about the Ravens and their resolve and the Browns still being very much the Browns. But at the same time, that grip that they have on the AFC North right now is going to be determined by the health of Lamar Jackson's ankle. Because you look at these final four games, I mean, Green Bay coming to town. You saw what they did. Yeah, okay, the Bears kind of got, you know, did some things against them in the first half, and you had a highly competitive, high-scoring game. That second quarter was nuts, but you know, the Packers took over. And despite their many injuries on the offensive line, which I think is kind of fascinating because we've talked so much about the Ravens, Packers haven't had to the extreme degree of the Ravens across the roster, but look at their offensive line. They got, you know, no David Bakhtiari. They lost their right tackle on Sunday night. You know, they've played without some interior linemen at various times this year. So they've had a lot of injuries, but you know, they have Aaron Rodgers and they have Devontae Adams, and you know, they have a pretty decent running game too. So, you know, you have a team coming to town that it's going to be tough. I mean, the Ravens are going to be an underdog in this game, especially with Lamar's status. I mean, I saw the early lines on Sunday night. I'm not a big betting guy, but I take a look at that stuff. But, you know, we know there are no layups left. I mean, if you want to call Pittsburgh coming to town in week 18 a layup just because the Steelers look really bad at times, well, the Ravens lost to them a week ago, so you can't take them too lightly. So it's just, you know, it's tough for them. And it's been an admirable effort that they've had for the entire season to be 8-5 at this point, as flawed as it might be. I think there are very, very few coaches, very, very few rosters in this league that would be anywhere close to where the Ravens are, given the number of injuries and the attrition they've experienced this year.
By the way, I saw a number that the Titans are playing with 20 players who weren't on their week 5 roster.
Yeah.
So, you've seen what's happened to them. They went from October, my birthday, middle October, they were going to be the team. We might go to Nashville and put cowboy hats on in January again and tip cabs or whatever they do there these days. But they're, you know, they lost their guy. They lost their player and things got sideways. We've had our player and things have gone sideways here, right? And I guess that's to your point that this is – this is just a mess, right? I mean, literally, like when Lamar got hurt, I saw you had some snarky Baltimore Luke tweet that was something to the effect of like, I got nothing for you, because that's just, this is, we've covered a lot of football, dude. I mean, I'm, 26 years into this. I wasn't in Cleveland the other day. I've been in that room 1,000 times. Harbaugh's what, 20-4 lifetime or whatever the gaudy stat is. And I'm like, you're like, his stat, pull Billick's up. It's probably the same way because of how lopsided it's been. And the boat starts to get like sort of rocked at some point, and then everything happens at once this year, right? And nobody's going to be calling for DaCosta to get fired or Harbaugh to get fired or this or that, but they are going to be saying, what are you going to pay Lamar? Then you give him $40 million, and how are you going to do this? And I don't think they're winning the Super Bowl this year, Luke. You know, it's my 30th anniversary today, and I'm on tape with that. So if I have to go to Los Angeles and sit next to you all week and replay the part where I sullenly looked into the camera and said they can't win the Super Bowl, are you of that mindset at this point, or do you believe they can still win the Super Bowl?
I mean, there's a big difference between whether I think they would and can they. I mean, if Lamar Jackson comes back healthy and you can get him playing at the level he was playing earlier this season, which, you know, Ronnie Stanley wasn't out there other than week one early in the season. You look at the rest of their offense, Nick Boyle hasn't been out there all year. If you can find that passing game that we saw over the first 5 weeks of the season, I think they have a chance. Now, I don't think that's a very high chance. I don't think that's as high of a chance as Kansas City or New England or some other teams in the AFC. But again, beyond those two teams I just mentioned, everyone else is just kind of meh. I mean, Buffalo looks great for certain stretches, and then they look absolutely awful. I mean, look at the game they had against Tampa Bay on Sunday. I mean, they're getting their butts kicked, and then Josh Allen almost brings them back. They have no running game whatsoever. That's a flawed team. You know, all these teams have warts. So that's really the best argument I can make for the Ravens right now, when it's really just no one else really wows you, although Kansas City's starting to really get on a roll as retaking that spot that everyone thought they would be going into the season. But it's been
that's like a horse race where you know who the best horse is when the season starts.
Yeah.
And I mean, you judge the race early on the backstretch, and you're like, dude, I've been at this a while. As long as the quarterback stays upright and they build things around him and it gets better, their schemes get better, their linemen stay in structure, running backs don't fumble balls, timing gets better during the course of the season, that's what the good teams do. You and I have rubbed elbows with these really good teams here and elsewhere, whether it's on the road or at home, or teams that come in and beat this team in January. Those teams, Buffalo last year, things are moving in the right direction. Jacksonville had it happen a couple of years ago for 3 weeks, right? Where things go right, and you have to be healthy. Or you have to find Brian McKinney on the street and bring him in. Or, you know what I mean? And figure out that Michael Orr is in the wrong position. Or you have to, find players that you don't have, the Bart Scotts, the Josh Bynes, whatever, that come in and help you win. And when they go down, when Calais Campbell goes down, when Houston's not the factor, when Owa has, I don't want to say disappeared, but I mean, Bowser, these guys that have to get after the quarterback, have to make plays, have to jar the ball, it turns out it's Myles Garrett on the other side of the ball taking the ball away, and not to mention the back end of the cornerbacks, right? Like, I'm going to get phone calls out in Milwaukee this week to do radio, and hey, what's up with the Ravens, and Cincinnati next week, and it's Christmas, and I think people are going to witness this, right? I mean, people know what's going on. They're going to say it's Lamar, and he's not playing, or he's hurt, but it's really, like, way, way deeper than that on an injury level, and, when you don't throw the ball, there's a lot of reasons why, maybe, right? It might be the wide receivers. It might be the scheme. It might be the OC. It might be the quarterback underthrowing, overthrowing. It might be communication. But a lot of times it begins with the O-line. And the O-line here is not what it was 2 years ago. And that's why it doesn't look the way it did 2 years ago.
No question about it. And again, I mean, it's a long explanation to say, no, I don't really think they're going to win the Super Bowl or have a great chance to do that. But you just said it. You know, you also look at these scenarios where a team gets hot at the right time. Do I think the Ravens can get hot? Well, not if Lamar Jackson's going to be a diminished version of himself. And we've talked about it from a performance standpoint, and now you have a health concern on top of that. And that's where this is difficult. I mean, it just is. If this had happened 2 years ago and he sprains his ankle in week 14, but this team was on such a roll at that point, and okay, maybe that would have cost them the number one seed if he had to miss a game or two, or maybe they're, but you're still thinking, wow, I mean, this offense has been dominant. They've been a historic rushing attack. They have a future Hall of Famer at right guard in Marshall Yanda. They have an all-pro at left tackle in Ronnie Stanley. They have a Pro Bowler at right tackle in Orlando Brown. They don't have any of that.
Right. Oh, and by the way, those guys are all healthy.
Right. I mean, they just don't have any of that right now on offense. And, you know, they're just piecing it together. And again, it's a real testament to their resolve. And it doesn't mean they're perfect. And it doesn't mean the coaching staff is absolved from any questioning or criticism, or that players aren't criticized for they had what, 8 pre-snap penalties in Pittsburgh. I mean, that was ridiculous. Those types of things are still going to happen where they're not excuses. There aren't excuses for it, but in its totality, when you look at all of this, it's just a hell of a lot to overcome. And all right, if you want to go back in time, well, the 2012 Ravens fired their offensive coordinator right around this time of year. The 2000 Ravens went 5 games without scoring a touchdown. You know, they went over a month without scoring a touchdown, which is just insane when you think about it 21 years later. So could the Ravens theoretically get on some kind of roll? I guess stranger things have happened. Am I going to bet on that? Of course not. You know, I've seen how this team's played since October. It's been, you know, they're 3-4 since that Chargers blowout. So, you know, I still think they have a heck of a chance to win this division, because of the advantage they have right now with 4 games to go. I mean, you look at the schedules: Bengals at Denver, home against Baltimore, home against Kansas City, at Cleveland. Does that sound like a team that's running the table? I don't think so. Browns, home against Las Vegas, at Green Bay, at Pittsburgh, home against Cincinnati. Is that a team that's going to win out? I'm guessing not, because they're the Browns and I'm not going to bet on them. I think they could go 3-1. I don't think they're going to go 4-0 though. So again, what does that mean in terms of the division? And then Pittsburgh, who's, you know, behind the 8 ball after their loss.
Boy, Green Bay rolls into this division right at the right time, right? Like, no, Green Bay looks up and says, man, we got the AFC North, and we're going to playing these pretty good. Pittsburgh pretty good, and like all that. And now they see these games, and they're like, oh, you know, we're getting them all at half speed. And I know Aaron Rodgers is going to bitch about his pinky winky toe and probably host 3 episodes of Jeopardy with Miami Alec before the week's over and whatnot, do some commercials. But he'll be in here Sunday, and vaccinated or unvaccinated or immunized or unimmunized, I'm not going to breathe on the SOB. But he, you know, whatever this looks like over at the casino, or you can now wager on it, brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. Let yourself play. You know, I would say that this is about as ugly a scenario as you could have the week before Christmas, especially when the tickets are $300 to get in. Ravens fans are like, come on in, Packers fans. Bring it, man. Take the ticket, because this is a different game. Without it, the way that it would be billed on television with Aaron Rodgers and Lamar, even if Lamar plays, and we're getting way out in front of that, and based on where we were on Sunday, I'll be shocked if he plays. And if he plays, to your point, what is the mobility after that kind of an injury? It changes the complexion of the whole thing here for Aaron Rodgers and for the NFC, right? That if you were hoping they're going to go away, Arizona, some of the other teams, this plays better for the Pack.
You know, all I was thinking, though, was late Sunday night when he said in his post game that his toe was a little bit worse. All I'm thinking is, oh, my goodness. We went to Lambeau 4 years ago thinking we were going to see Aaron Rodgers, and Brett Hundley ends up playing. And look, the Ravens won the game. That was a shutout. You know, great defensive performance. But you go to Lambeau Field and you're thinking, and I'm talking as a football fan saying this, you want to see Aaron Rodgers. And all I'm thinking is, oh, great, his toe's bad. He's going to end up having surgery. And they're going to say, well, we've got, you know, Lamar's not going to play. This is the week to do it. Maybe we can win with Jordan Love. And then the Ravens will have Tyler Huntley. So this Lamar Jackson, Aaron Rodgers game morphs into what looks like a preseason game. I hope that's not the case. I don't think that will be the case. You know, Rodgers has said, even if he has a surgery, he could play that week, which I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to believe what he says at face value. I think there's some evidence of that now. But, you know, that aside, but then there's the big question with Lamar. And we'll see how this plays out. Again, I don't want to speculate too much about the man's health. He's tough. He's absolutely tough. A tough kid who wants to win, wants to do well. We'll see what it looks like this week. But again, there's a difference between is he healthy enough to play and is he healthy enough to play at his best level? And he wasn't playing at his best level before the injury. So that's where you do look at this and you kind of, you know, you kind of weigh how you have to approach this. I mean, because you do have a backup quarterback who is not going to give you the ceiling of Lamar Jackson, but he's kind of giving you a higher floor of some of the things Lamar does than anyone would have thought. I mean, he could do a good impression in certain things he does, and hey, give him credit.
Maybe he's inspired watching Lamar run around, literally, right?
Well, and it's not even just that. I give him credit, and this is something I'm including in my 12 thoughts that I'll have at BaltimorePositive.com as far as the aftermath of this Ravens game. But if there's one thing Lamar Jackson can take from Tyler Huntley that I'm not at all suggesting a quarterback controversy here because that's just ridiculous, but let's get the Rashad Bateman kid involved a little bit more. I mean, he'd kind of disappeared and, you know, Sammy Watkins appeared to have some kind of issue. He played very little and Bateman was getting more run then as a result. And, you know, look at the game he had. Should have had a touchdown, it looked like, you know, even though the Ravens scored on that the next play. But, you know, Huntley has a willingness to push the ball down the field. He's going to make some mistakes, and certainly the ball security is an issue if he is going to play here over the next week.
It's like he didn't even hear the footsteps, right? And it's like when you're a backup quarterback, you don't feel it or hear it. You're just trying. He's efforting, as Chris would say.
But go back and look at Joe Flacco very, very early in his career. He had issues with ball security in the pocket. You know, he had an issue with his clock. I think that's just tough. I mean, you do it at Utah. You know, that's you do it at Delaware. That's not the same thing as doing it in the AFC North or in
with Myles Garrett.
Yeah. So, you know, it's a learning experience. But in the meantime, Huntley did just enough to win in Chicago. Great. You know, considering the circumstances there. And, you know, they had a chance against Cleveland. And again, it said a lot about the Ravens, said a lot about the Browns and their inability to put a team away. But we've said it all along. And you know me, I'm very bullish in terms of, do not spend a boatload of money on a backup quarterback. I mean, you shouldn't. I always think of the great Tom Moore line. Google it about Peyton Manning. You know, it has some colorful language. You know, we don't practice being blanked around here. That's the gist of it. And I love it. It's one of my favorite NFL quotes ever. But that's how I feel. But you found a backup quarterback who can move around. Myles Garrett and Jadeveon Clowney even said they think he might be a little faster than Lamar, which I don't know if that's the case. I mean, I know they've both been asked about it and they both kind of just laugh about it, but he can do a lot of those things. And again, if this were 2 or 3 years ago with the old line and the stable running backs they had, you could probably play a little more of that style and actually feel really good about it for a game or two, depending on how long Lamar is out. But, you know, that's not where they are right now. And again, that's why it makes this so difficult. But it's also why it's so impressive. And to the point you made about, you know, buzz for Sunday's game and fans with ticket sales and all those different things, I would say this much, and I wrote this a few weeks back, and I'm not trying to be a Pollyanna about this or anything like that, but enjoy this still. I mean, it's pretty remarkable considering what we thought about this team on, what was that, September 10th, when Marcus Peters and Gus Edwards go down almost, you know, consecutive practice reps. On that Thursday before the season started. And we were all thinking at that point, you know, is this team going to have a chance to make the playoffs? Well, they have a chance. They have a great chance to make the playoffs, even with Sunday's loss. Don't take that for granted, especially when we see what happens with the other major sports team in town and the lack of success they've had for a long, long time.
That bird over your shoulder smiling at you. Yeah, he's smirking at you right now.
And I'm not saying that to even pick on the Orioles. I'm saying that as a compliment to the Ravens, that even in a year where just about everything has gone wrong, and it's been insane how much they've suffered from an injury standpoint, that they are 8-5 and they are in position still to win this division, and they are still a favorite to make the playoffs. Beyond that, I have no idea what's going to happen. I'm guessing, like you, I don't think they can win the Super Bowl, but stranger things have happened. And, you know, hey, until they're officially eliminated, until, you know, there's a line drawn through their name that, you know, says they're done, go out and see what's going to happen. And at the very least, we've said this all year, even some of these games that have been ugly, I mean, it's been ridiculous theater, right? I mean, it's just been...
Well, the 2-4 o'clock games going all night, too. You know, the Buffalo and the Bengals. I mean, the Bengals are, like, lovable. Like, I almost, like, sort of kind of pull for them in some sort of way because they're so Charlie Brown, man. And they're, like... They're better than the result to some degree, and they're standing there, and it's like it's raining again.
I mean,
we'll deal with them next week. I'll go eat chili and get indigestion with them. Luke is in Owings Mills. It's all brought to you by Royal Farms, Real Fresh, Real Fast. He will be out there, Real Fresh, Real Fast, and the updates supported by our friends at Coons Baltimore Ford. It's our 30th anniversary here. I want to thank Bill Cole. I'm holding the Cole Roofing mug here. I'm going to try to drag him out to Costas on Wednesday for the 30th anniversary celebration. I think John Martin from the lottery is coming out, my old pal. Todd Crandall, who's running things down in Dundalk from the Dundalk Hawks wrestling program in 1981. He'll be out with us. And I think Aaron Tamarkio is stopping by. So we're going to have some fun. We're going to have some friends. We're going to have some Crab Imperial. And I'm going to celebrate the holidays as we get up on the Green Bay Packers, the Cincinnati Bengals, the turn of the year, the 17th game. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking Baltimore positive.